Talking about God. This is the NIV. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. That's a pretty good verse right there, friends. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can ask and imagine a lot of things. And I like how King James says this a little better. It says, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundant beyond all we ask or think. And thank God that we serve a God that's able to do great things beyond what we ask or think tonight. Amen? Have you glad that nothing's impossible with God? Amen. You know what? I've been thinking recently, how many of you have ever been in a situation and God comes through and just kind of surprises you? Have any of you ever experienced that? Things weren't going too good or difficulties or this and that. And God just kind of surprises you. Well, I thank God today for heavenly surprises. You know, God's word is full of heavenly surprises. I love the story of Joseph. One day, he's rotting in an Egyptian prison, and the very next day, he's a prince over all of Egypt. That was a heavenly surprise. I love the story of a violent man, violent young man named Saul, on his way to Damascus, Syria, to arrest and persecute Christians. But on one day, friends, he hears a voice, he sees a light, and becomes the great Apostle Paul. What a great surprise. And I think the biggest surprise and the best in all of the Word of God is one day our Lord and Savior Jesus is hanging on a tree, dying and bleeding for your sin and my sin, but 3 days later rises victor over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Thank God for heavenly surprises. Friends, we thank God that he's not forgotten Colombia, but he's doing wonderful surprises in the nation of Colombia also. You know what? 10 years ago, things weren't looking too great in the nation of Colombia. 10 years ago, they were kidnapping up to 3,500 people every year in the nation of Colombia. Today, that's under 500. That's a heavenly surprise. If you'd have told me that 10 years ago, I'd say, no way. I couldn't have hardly believed that, but it's a wonderful surprise. 10 years ago, leftist guerrilla groups controlled probably 2/3 of our country, and they were all around our big cities, and it was very dangerous and difficult. Today, man, they're all pushed back into little pockets of rural Colombia, and we thank God for a changed country and for heavenly surprises. Hallelujah. Now that said, we still could use a few more surprises in the nation of Colombia. We know that unfortunately 90% of the world's cocaine is still flowing out of that country, as well as a lot of heroin and marijuana. We know there's still too much violence, still too much corruption. There's still too many areas of Colombia without the gospel. But thank God that he is able to do exceeding abundant beyond all we ask or think. And we believe that more surprises are on the way for the nation of Colombia. Thank God for it. Now I want to share with you briefly, and I know some of you got happy when I said briefly right there, but anyway, I want to share with you a couple of ways that you can help us and let's say help God continue to do great surprises in the nation of Colombia. And by the way, these are things that work in Jefferson County, Kansas, or wherever you're at, things that we can help God continue to do wonderful surprises around the world. The first one is this, and I should probably apologize, Pastor, because every missionary said the same thing, and you're going to go up, here we go again, you're going to say it again. But it's so true. The first thing we need to do if we want to see God do great things here in Meriden is begin to pray like we've never prayed before. How do you believe God answers prayer? It's not just a cute thing we do at meals. God answers prayer. And it's, if we want to see God do great things in our lives, in our situations, We need to pray like never before. I love that old verse. We all know God speaking to King Solomon in a dream. He said this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's what we need to do, friends. Hallelujah. And he answers prayer. Now I got a confession, all right? I got to confess with you guys. I'm a spoiled missionary. I'm straight out spoiled. You say, why is that? I live in the midst of Christians that know how to pray. It's nothing for our churches to have all-night prayer meetings, friends. Christians and pastors and leaders in Columbia have learned that, man, more than anything else, they need God's power and presence operating in their lives. And they've learned that that only comes when His people pray. We ask you before you leave. In fact, we're not going to let you leave unless you have a prayer card today. We're a little hard on people. No, that's just a joke. You can leave. But we would appreciate if before you leave, you'd go past our table, get one of our cards. It's got a picture of our family. We'd appreciate you remembering us in prayer. We lean on and rely on the prayers of God's people. Now, when I was in the States about 10 years ago doing what I'm doing this morning, I bet 5 or 6 times after a service, someone came up to me and said, Bruce, I'm going to pray for you. Well, friends, I love to hear that. That's a blessing. But they went on to say, I'm going to pray for you because God showed me that the devil's going to try to kill you next term. Now, friends, if God tells you that this morning, would you do me a favor and not tell me? Could you just keep that as a secret and pray for me? You know, when you hear that, you kind of think, well, it might be time to change fields or, you know, or look somewhere else. But friends, we would appreciate your prayers. Over the years, I thank God for the prayers of His people. I know for a fact I just missed a huge bombing one time, been in several riots, been in some earthquakes, been in some Colombian airplanes that I thought, man, if I ever land, Lord, that would be a wonderful thing. I know for a fact I've almost been kidnapped twice by guerrilla groups, most recently in 05, preaching a youth camp in the mountains above Colombia with my 14-year-old son Nate. Took him because they said, it's safe up there, no problem. Wouldn't you know it, in the middle of the night, 3 men with massing guns came on saying, where's the gringos? That would be us. We thank God for His protection and His deliverance. We'd appreciate your prayers. And to be honest with you, remember I told you how Columbia's getting better? This last term was just kind of boring. Security-wise, spiritually, it was awesome. Hallelujah. Security-wise, you know, just a little earthquake and both kids got robbed at knife point. But besides that, it was no problem. Hallelujah. Speaking of earthquakes, you know, it was interesting. I forget. I think it was in 04. I was preaching a youth camp in the mountains above, mountains somewhere in Western Colombia. And man, in the middle of the night, we had like a 6.7 earthquake. And I don't know if we got some California people here, but boy, you don't like waking up to that. It's 4 a.m. and you wake up and everything's moving and shaking. And at first you think you're dreaming. Then when you realize you're not, you wish you were. You know what I mean? And you get up there and all the lights, of course, are out and you can't find your way out. And fortunately at the camp, there wasn't a lot of damage. No one was hurt or anything like that. But you know what? The next day, when I was preaching, Pastor Blaine, that was the best youth service I ever preached. That was the best response we've ever had at a youth camp. They were all at the altar, if you know what I mean. So, anyway, we would appreciate your prayers. Pray for Colombia. Pray for those areas with us that have no gospel presence. Pray for kidnapped victims to be restored to their families. Pray for peace and revival to come to that great nation. And let me tell you this. I believe if Colombia could experience a great revival, I believe if God could do a great thing down there, I believe it could impact Jefferson County, Kansas. You say, why is that? Well, I hope there's no drug problem here, and maybe there's not. I don't know. But if there is, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could stop it a little bit on that side of the world? Amen? by seeing drug people come to Jesus. Would you pray with us for Columbia? We appreciate your prayers. Secondly, I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, the second part of that verse. It says this, and I know we've all heard this, man. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. How you heard that before? God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, friends, when you came in here this morning and saw Pastor Ken had a missionary, you should have just gotten a good mood. He's got a missionary this morning. Man, look at, all right, I didn't know. All right, I'll probably get to give to that guy. Thank you for that one. Hallelujah. Amen. God loves a cheerful giver. Why is that? You ever thought about that? Why does God love a cheerful giver? This is my opinion. This is my opinion as a missionary. I believe God loves a cheerful giver because he is a cheerful giver. Have you glad God is a cheerful giver? Have you glad God loves to give? Friends, if he didn't, I'd be in a lot of trouble today. But thank God he's generous and he has given to us even unto his only begotten son. And he wants his people to be generous. Everything you saw on that DVD, friends, and by the way, there's a lot of stuff you didn't see, but everything you saw is fruit because churches like this are generous. People like you are generous. That enables us to purchase property for churches, enables us to build buildings and plant churches where we don't have any, enables us to do campaigns, enables us to do all kinds of outreach and move around Columbia, helping and blessing churches. It's causing people to come to Jesus. It's causing fruit to be produced for the glory of God. Why? Because people like you are generous. Thank God your giving produces fruit here in Kansas and around the world. Thank God for it. Thank God. I especially am excited about one of those slides you saw. How many of you remember the one that said San Jose or San Jose de Guaviare? That's a really cool place. Guaviare is a state in Colombia, just like Kansas is a state in the United States. And it has never, ever had an Assembly of God church in its entire history, all right? San Jose de Guaviare is the capital city. It's 40 or 50,000 people. Never, ever had one of our churches. What a privilege it was a couple years ago to support a man named Oscar Medina to go out to San Jose, helped him get property, helped him get going. Why? Because people like you are generous. And friends, where there was no church in the entire state a couple years ago, this morning in that place, there's about 200 people that love and serve Jesus Christ. That's called fruit because people like you are generous, and we thank God for it. Now listen to me. As your team members can tell you, Columbia is a great place to visit. It is. It's a wonderful place, wonderful people. You can come visit us in Bogota very safely. In fact, I'm inviting all of you to come see us in Bogota. You're all invited. We'll have a good time. And it's wonderful and it's very safe. But if you come to Columbia, friends, I can't take you out to San Jose de Guaviare. You say, why is that? If we go out there as North Americans, put it this way, we're going to be staying a long time because we'll all get kidnapped. That's just the way it is. It's a dangerous area. It's right in the middle of the biggest drug trafficking area of our country. It's right in the middle of several guerrilla and paramilitary groups. It's a very, very dangerous area. But in the midst of all that, the light of Jesus Christ is shining brightly because people like you are generous. God bless you and thank you. Hallelujah. I love that other place that your group knows, the Suba Child Feeding Institute. What a wonderful, wonderful place. A wonderful brother named Carlos Yepes went into that neighborhood a few years ago. It was one of the poorest in Bogota. Saw all these kids out on the street with nothing, and many of them very skinny with nothing. By faith, really, he had nothing. He started feeding these kids. He started reaching out to them, and that started growing, and God started supplying. And, you know, to make a long story short, today they're feeding 400 or 500 poor kids. Some of them, it's the only meal they get that day, friends. And they're from all kinds of bad situations. But the good news is those kids start coming to Jesus and their families start coming to Jesus. What a privilege it was for me as your representative a few years ago to help them get a wonderful property, help them to build a wonderful building where all those kids are taken care of daily and their needs are met. And it's producing wonderful fruit for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Why? Because people like you are generous. Hallelujah. Keep being generous, friends. Keep being like God. Why? Because it produces fruit. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that your generosity produces fruit around the world and right here in Kansas. You saw a couple other places. Next term, we get back in a year or so, there's a whole other state in Colombia called Valpaice. No churches. Another state, Guainia. No churches. When we get back, by the grace and mercy of God, we want to help plant churches in these difficult areas where we don't have any. And anything you give us in an offering today, it's going for that, to help God raise up the church of Jesus where we don't have it. Amen? Your generosity produces fruit. I thank God for heavenly surprises. I thank God that this morning, hallelujah, August 15th, 2010, that our God is still able to do exceeding abundant beyond all we ask or think. And friends, I don't know what you're going through in your life this morning, but I want to encourage you, hang on to Jesus, reach out to Jesus, keep seeking Him, keep being faithful, because He's got a heavenly surprise coming your way. Maybe it's in your family or your marriage, maybe it's in your health, maybe it's in your economic or spiritual areas of your life, I don't know. But He's able to do exceeding abundant beyond all you ask or think. And I believe He has a surprise with your name on it. Hallelujah. Thank God for heavenly surprises. We see them all the time in Colombia. Again, talking about that Children's Institute. Just a little over a year ago, friends, there were three little girls that I know you guys met in that institute. And just actually maybe a year and a half ago, their mother of these three little girls was dirt poor. She was a drug addict. There was no husband. They didn't have anything. They just barely got by. And one day in a drug stupor, a crazy idea came to this mother. She thought, if only I didn't have these little girls, my life would be free and I could have something, I could go on. She hatched a terrible plan. She took those little girls to a vacant lot real close to the church, said, girls, drink this. And she had mixed poison in Kool-Aid. And those little girls drank that poison, friends, and began to get in pain and to pass out. And the mom just took off. Thankfully, a man walked by and stopped and said, what's going on? Could have been an angel from heaven for all I know, and got some help. And shortly thereafter, Pastor Carlos visited those girls in a clinic, started reaching out to them, got them into that institute. And little girls that just a little while ago almost died, lost their mother who's locked up in a Colombian prison, today are being cared for and taken care of in that institute. And they all love Jesus Christ. What a wonderful surprise. What a wonderful surprise. I thank God today for a good friend of mine named Jaime Salazar, pastoring a wonderful church in Chia, Colombia, which, by the way, was built by a Kansas MAPS construction team. Property provided because of people like you. They have a wonderful church in Chia, Colombia. Many years ago, before he knew Jesus, Pastor Jaime was a pilot in the Colombian Air Force flying cargo planes around Latin America. Well, one day him and his crew got the bad idea. They were thinking, you know what? We're flying these planes all over Latin America for the Colombian government. We ought to make some money on the side. And they literally started using their airplane to transport cocaine around Latin America. Well, one day they crash landed in the jungles of Ecuador. Fortunately, they all survived, all right? But shortly after they landed, here comes an Ecuadorian police patrol through the jungle. Uh-oh. Gentlemen, welcome to Ecuador. What do you got there? What could they say? And I forget what year it was, but according to Pastor Jaime, whatever year that was the world's biggest cocaine bust that whole year, all right? And that's our pastor in Chía, Colombia today. Well, Jaime got sentenced to 30 years in prison in Ecuador. But the good news is, the second year of that sentence, a U.S. missionary visited the jail and led Jaime Salazar to Jesus Christ. Over the next 4 years in prison, God protected him from death attempts and threats. People were mad at him for getting saved and leaving the business and all that. And after 6 years, God miraculously commuted the sentence, and God is using that brother in a wonderful way today. I call that a heavenly surprise. Jesus changing something around. Amen? I wish he could be here today. He's got the best stories you've ever heard, Pastor Ken. He's kind of like the Indiana Jones of Columbia, really. I mean, he's got the craziest stories. Now, I met a sister in Sunday school that's a pilot. This guy is a pilot, and when he got out of prison, he didn't have any money, and he felt called of God to be in the ministry, but he had to support himself for a while. So he got a job as a pilot flying these beater planes, these old planes from like the 1940s, right, to jungle villages in Colombia to bring them supplies. And, oh, he's got, you know, we're talking old planes, duct tape, baling wire, all right, that kind of stuff. And he's got all these funny stories, you know, of being up there and they, you know, like four propellers and they lose a couple engines and you know, they got to land, they're losing altitude. My favorite all-time Jaime Salazar, this has nothing to do with the message, it's just kind of funny. My favorite story of Jaime is this one. They're flying over the jungles, they lose an engine, no big deal, we got three more, lose a little altitude, lost another engine, this is serious, we got to lighten the load, we got to throw everything overboard to stay up in the air. And this day they happen to have about a 300-400-pound pig in the back of the plane. Guess what happened? Goodbye, pig. Contrary to popular opinion, pigs do not fly, all right? Crazy stories. You know what tickles me about that story, Pastor Ken? I've often thought, think of that poor old Colombian out there in the jungle almost starving to death, and one day a pig just lands right there. Oh. Amen. Oh, boy. Got another friend in Colombia. Wonderful. I wish you could meet these guys. They're all awesome. A wonderful friend named Jimmy Guavita. And me and Jimmy used to work together a lot. He was the Central District Youth Director of the Assemblies of God of Colombia, and I was the National Youth Leader of Colombia for many years, and we'd work together doing all kinds of youth stuff and whatnot. Jimmy used to pastor in a guerrilla-held area, all right? And that's very complicated for an evangelical pastor. Sometimes they kick you out. They've killed a few people, but they were letting him do his thing, so he stayed there pastoring. And one day he's out witnessing on the street of his town, and a guy just started cussing him out, being very mean to Jimmy, scared him a little bit. So, you know, Jimmy just went home. A couple days later, a pickup pulls up at Jimmy's house, and several armed men get out and say, "Pastor Jimmy, come with us." He knew they were guerrilla members, all right? But he went with them, no big deal. There's, you know, this place is full of guerrilla members. Well, they drove a couple hours out in the jungle right into a guerrilla camp with, you know, 300 or 400 of these guys, and now he's a little nervous, okay? He gets out of the truck, and the first person he sees is the guy that was cussing him out a couple of days earlier. He was the leader of this particular group. And Jimmy's like, oh no, what's going on? This guy comes up to him and says, Pastor Jimmy, a couple of days ago you told me that you believe in a God, that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's real. You told me that you believe he can do anything. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, I believe that. He says, see this elderly lady over here? She's my mother and she's our camp cook. And we just found out a few days ago she's dying of terminal cancer. No one can do anything for her. We want you to pray for her. Now, how do you know every now and again you really need God to answer a prayer? You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, oh, take your time, God, hallelujah. You know, whatever. But Jimmy, man, he was on the spot. He's out in the jungle. And to be honest with you, he wasn't like a faith-filled evangelist that night. He was just scared to death and wanted to be able to go home and survive. So Jimmy out there that night in the Colombian jungle, Jesus, Lord, touch it, please. Pretty, touch this lady, Lord. You know, just said the prayer. And wouldn't you know it, friends? That night, our God showed up in the middle of the Colombian jungle, healed that lady of terminal cancer, and several of those guerrilla members gave their life to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! That's what I call a heavenly surprise. The devil didn't see that one coming, if you know what I mean. Thank God for heavenly surprises. I close saying this, friends. It's been fun. It's been a privilege to be with you again. And I close saying this. To be honest with you, I'm kind of a heavenly surprise myself. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be a missionary. You know, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up knowing about the Lord and all that stuff. And therefore, when I was like all these guys' ages, when I was a teenager, man, I was into all the wrong stuff and all the garbage that everyone else was doing. You know what I mean? Saying, you know, check this out, try this, it's great. And you know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And man, that is so true. It's death emotionally, mentally, physically, not just eternally, all right? It's that too. But sin brought death to my life. When I was 18, 19 years old, I had a life trashed because of sin. I had a mind almost destroyed because of drug abuse. I was a slave to drugs. That was my life. But one day, almost exactly 33 years ago, August 21st, 1977, it was a Sunday. Say, what were you doing? Man, I was up on a highway in Iowa hitchhiking. And all these cars went by and no one would stop. I know why they wouldn't stop. I don't look too great today, but I looked really bad back then, all right? And no one would stop. Finally, after a long time, a car pulled over, said, get in. And thank God, friends, in that car were two people that loved Jesus wanting to reach others. Started telling me the best news I ever heard, that Jesus was real, that he knew me, that he loved me, that he had power to forgive and change someone as messed up as me. And you know what? That was pretty good news. And to make a long story short, about 30 miles later, still sitting in the back seat of that car, I started crying out to Jesus. I didn't even know if he was real, man. Saying, Lord, if you're out there, would you help me? If what they're saying is true, I need your help, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me and come into my life. I give you my life. It was that point in history I found out that he's who he said he was, because he came into my life. He forgave my sin. He set me free and he made me new. And I got out of the car different than when I got in. Hallelujah. Born again by the power of Jesus. And don't tell me something like that doesn't work, all right? That was 33 years ago, and it's still working fine. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about heavenly surprises. Amen. What's the surprise here? Think of that. God reaches down, saves this 70s druggie and all this kind of stuff, heals him, changes him, cleans him up, educates him. And where does he send him to as a missionary? Hallelujah. He's a God of surprises. I don't know what you have need of this morning, friends, but I'm telling you, by the authority of the Word of God, that He's able to do exceeding abundant beyond all you ask or think. If you're away from Him, if you're new and you've never given your heart to Him, He's your answer, man. You don't need to look anywhere else. It's Jesus. We just need to get right with Him, and He'll start working all things for our good. Amen. God loves you. He's with you. Be strengthened today, friends. He has a heavenly surprise coming your way. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for these friends. Thank you for their kindness and their generosity to us over the years. God, would you minister to every person in this room today? Would you bless Pastor Kent and Debbie and all their leadership team today? God, thank you for this church. Bless it. Pour out your Spirit in this place in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, you know all about us. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know what we're going through, and you know exactly what we have need of. Would you strengthen your people today? Would you minister to your people today? Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Friends, would you be so kind to do this? Would you close your eyes just for a second? Young people, children, whoever, would you close your eyes? No one looking around, just for a second. I'm not going to keep you. Is there anyone in this place? Listen to me. Is there anyone in this place that maybe is new and you've never asked Jesus into your life? You've never asked Him for forgiveness? Or is there someone here? Maybe you've been here on a long time, but you're away from Him today and you would say, I need to come home. Is there anybody at all? If you're here and you need God's forgiveness, you need to give your life to Jesus, would you quickly raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody at all? Is there anybody at all? Anybody at all? How of you would say, you know what, Bruce, I love Jesus, but I could sure use a heavenly surprise in my life in these days. Would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. Many of us, many of us, many of us. The majority of us, I guess. I could use one too. I could use a couple in my life. Can we do this? You can put your hands down. I want us to do this. I'm going to pray from here. Would you join hands with the people around you today? Would you just take the hand of the person beside you today? We're going to pray one for another. There were many hands that went up saying, I need God to help me. As we say this prayer, I want you to pray for the person that's beside you. Seriously, I want you to lift them up. And you that raised your hand, I want you to begin to tell God what your need is. I want you to begin to say, Lord, I need this. I might need a physical healing. You might need forgiveness. Just ask Him to forgive you today. You might need help. You might need a job. You might have a lost daughter or child that needs to come home. Hallelujah. Just begin to pray. Would you? And pray for that person beside you. I'm going to pray from here this morning, friends. And I believe God can do miracles right now. I believe He can heal your body. I believe He can speak to your child. I believe He can open a door for work today. Would you pray with me?